Good morning, church family. This is Pastor Elson. The message today for this morning, I've entitled Alarm. In our present world, we are surrounded by many different types of alarms. We have alarms in our cars, on our houses, the place where we work, on the streets. Even there are some alarm systems that we don't even know that they exist, but in case there is a hurricane, there is a national disaster to some proportions, those alarms will be present and we will know that they exist. Over here in Vista, we used to, San Onofre nuclear plant that was close by here that when it was operating, they had a system alarm too in case there was some radiation. In other words, we are used to alarms. You know, the word alarm is very common. It's very common among us, especially if we live in some parts of the United States, is even more common. It is hard to believe that the first electromagnetic alarm system in the world was patented on June the 21st, 1853, in the name of the individual who had the patent for this alarm was Augustus Russell Pope, an inventor from the Somerville in Boston. Up until then, people had mainly relied on loud noises from their geese or maybe their guard dogs, or sometimes even a guard with a whistle, or somebody having a bell that they will use to sound an alarm. As when I was from my age 11 until I was 14 and a half, for three years, a few months, I was in one orphanage close to a city. They call the city Lagoa Santa. Lagoa means lake, holy lake. I don't know what it was holy about, because all that we, there was a base there, and sometimes airplane will fall in the lake and people die in the lake. We have no idea why they kept calling it holy. But we live in a place close by there. And it was very interesting to see that they have this system that we always hear some kind of sound from the church bell. Every time the church bell rang, even though we were in the school far away, we could hear, because the church was in a hill, and when they ring the bell, the whole city, all around the lake, it was a huge lake, and the city was all around the lake. We all could hear those bells, and I remember looking to one of my, fellow member of the orphanage, another kid, and just say, "Oh, somebody else died." Every time we heard the bell, we knew that somebody, there was a funeral going on. We always know there is an alarm. For example, I have a list here just to mention very few. We have a home alarm system. We have a building alarm system. We have a car alarm system. Weather, fire alarm, intrusion to protect our house from somebody to break in or our properties. We have those little annoying things that we have in your house that sometimes you forget to something is cooking and then there's some smoke and then they start going, beep, beep, beep. Sometimes you have to change the battery because they keep, the carbon monoxide alarm, smoke alarm, door alarm, motion alarm, fire alarm. We already mentioned that fire alarm before. And garage door alarm, and we have alarm on our microwave. Even some of us, we have a refrigerator. If you leave it open for a little longer than it should, and there will be a beeping sound telling you, close that refrigerator. unless you're going to pay a lot of electrical bill, your electric bill is going to be very high because all the cold air from the refrigerator is going to be out of there. And so you're going to spoil whatever is inside. So we have a alarm everywhere. We have alarms in our computers. We have alarms in our cell phones. We have sometimes you're watching television, and I notice some of you have noticed, sometimes we're watching television, and then there is then a straight, very long red sign on the middle of the screen saying, this is your local alarm, is this a mandate by law, and they go on, beep. And sometimes they come in the most interesting part of your program, and they interrupt your program because they are entitled to do that by law. They have to do it. Sometimes if somebody is still kidnapped a child, they're under alert. We hear all that all the time. Sometimes we're driving on the freeway, we can read alert, alarm. So it's everywhere. But one that is very common to all of us, especially those of us that have to get up early sometimes and have to go somewhere, is the alarm clock. Do you like alarm clocks? I can hear, even though I'm not actually hearing you, but I know that some of you may say, of course not, but they are one of the things that are needed. Some of you may say, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Because alarm clocks are designed to alert you to the fact that it's time to get up. But it sounds so terrible because it's so unpleasant, especially when it seems like the alarm goes on when you're in the best of your sleep. And sometimes you want to sleep just a little bit more. So then what do? Oh, the alarm comes with that button that you can just push it and it will go silent for another 9 minutes. So you get another 9 extra minutes. There is one problem with that snooze button that you may press on your alarm clock. First, if you continue to hit this button, you will certainly end up being late. And then you may ask why you have set the alarm in the first place if you intend to be late. Second, if you keep hitting that snooze button, you may get used to that sound to the point that you won't hear it anymore. So as we set the alarm, we have to be careful. When the alarm sounds, we must be ready to stand up, to get up, and to move on. But if we keep hitting that button that says, I need a little bit more time, I want a little bit more time, I want to change now, I'm so happy here laying down, I'm so happy with my Z's, I want to get some more Z's. And you're going to get lazy if you continue doing this way. Now, there is one alarm that I'd like to talk to you about today that maybe some of you though are not even aware that you have this alarm. This is an alarm that you have that goes everywhere where you go. When you go to bed, you have that alarm with you. When you get up, you have that alarm with you. If you travel outside of the country or here, everywhere you go, that alarm is with you. Do you know what that alarm is? It's what I call the spiritual alarm or conscience or the Holy Spirit in you. That is an alarm that is always on. When God implanted that alarm on you, He left it on. It has to be on. The only one who can press the snooze button on that alarm, it's you. You can actually silence that button if you keep hitting over and over. When that alarm tells you to get up, when that alarm tells you it's time to move, And if you keep saying, I want more Z's because you're lazy, then that alarm may become dysfunctional also in your life. Have you ever heard people saying to other people, oh, this individual has no conscience? It's almost like saying, this individual has no alarm. You know, he can get anywhere because nothing tells you when it's time to get up. We need to be awake to God's purpose for our calling. We need to be asking ourselves, why me, Lord? Why do I need to be awake? Why now? What is so important about this time that I have to get up right now? So the Lord says, you have a calling. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, yes, please open your Bibles. In 1 Corinthians, first letter that Paul wrote to the very, very interesting church, the Corinthians. Remember, they were extremely liberal ones. And so Paul had to write to them and go into the details. He says, be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Again, that was 1 Corinthians 16, 13. Be on guard. In other words, be alert. Be ready to listen to the alarm and get up. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Paul also wrote to the 1 Thessalonians. In chapter 5, verse 14, I'm reading now from the New King James Version. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. Comfort the fainted-hearted. Uphold the weak. Be patient with all. Paul is reminding us why we are a church, why we're being called, why God awakes us to be part of his family, why God wants us to get up and go to work. He says, it is time for us to preach, to warn those who are unruly, to comfort the faint-hearted. And by the way, in a church, there is always someone who is suffering, who someone can appreciate a call. Today, we have two members that are having a birthday, Sister Beulah and Sister Perrin. They are having a birthday today. We'll be very kind. We'll be very nice that we reach out and give them a call and show them how much we are blessed to have them as part of our family. So we are asked to exhort other people to work for the church, to comfort each other, to uphold the weak, and to be patient with all of us. Ezekiel 33, and by the way, this I can relate very well with Ezekiel 33, the whole chapter, but I'm going to read for you only verse 3 to 5. And I'm going to use the New Living Translation. Again, the book is the book of Ezekiel. The chapter is the 33rd. The verses 3 to 5. If you have your Bibles, please mark this in your Bible, because as we are talking about the Sabbath school lesson, about witnessing this quarter, this is very important for us to understand. In verse 3, it says, when the watchman or the watchwoman or the watchperson sees the enemy coming, he sounds the alarm to warn the people. Then if those who hear the alarm refuse to take action, or those that refuse to get up or wake up because they like to continue to sleep, it is their own fault if they die. Verse 5, it says, they heard the alarm, but they chose to ignore it. So the responsibility is theirs. If they had listened to the warning, they could have saved their lives. And by the way, brothers and sisters, the value of saving a life is that every time you save a life, you save a world, because that life will they influence many other lives. Each life influences hundreds of other lives. So every time we reach out for one person, actually we are reaching out for thousands of people that will be influenced by that life. I know that as a pastor, I have preached to one individual. That individual, by God's grace, had turned their lives away. And today, before they were not even, they didn't even know about the Sabbath, the Seventh-day Adventist Church or anything else. Today, they are not only Seventh-day Adventists, but three or four generations are already all Seventh-day Adventists just because that particular individual received Bible study. So if we change one person, you actually change a whole village, a whole city, because eventually we multiply. And so does the truth. If you said you plant the truth in the heart of one person, that produces fruits and other people be blessed. In Hosea, I'm leaving again, New Living Translation, Hosea chapter 8, verse 1. I'm reading from a New Living Translation. It says, sound the alarm. The enemy descends like an eagle on the people of the Lord. For they have broken my covenant and revolted against my law. What I like about this text, it tells clearly that when we abandon God, consequence comes upon us. I know I'm not implying, and I want to make sure that you understand this. Not every time something bad happens to us, it's actually our fault. Sometimes it is, but not always. So please don't go blaming yourself because if something happens, a disaster happened in your family, that is necessarily because somebody else sinned. But we know that if we abandon God, if we break the covenant with Him, and if we rebel against His law, of course, we'll make ourselves a target. We make ourselves a bigger target for the enemy of God's children. Number two, we must be awake to our position in God's redemptive gospel plan. The question is, where, Lord, must I go? Where must I do was the question. Why me? Now the second question is, where do I go, Lord? In Matthew 28, New King James Version, Matthew 28, Jesus gave what we call the commission. The commission. In other words, a call to mission. He says, go. He didn't say, if you can. He said, go, therefore, and make disciples. And he said to teach them everything. He didn't say teach them just a few things and then get them wet. He says, teach them all things. And then baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They need to be taught all things that the Lord has commanded us. And then he says, I am always with you, even into the end. It is a beautiful promise. Now may say, Pastor, but right now with this COVID-19, we cannot give Bible studies. Of course you can. People are now even more receptive to spiritual things. Every time there is calamity, pestilence, or anything else, people are vulnerable. People at this moment, it's much easier to reach out. I have been doing many times here giving Bible studies. People call me in for questions on the Bible. Sometimes I stay 2 or 3 hours with them on the phone. People are thirsty for truth. If we show that we care, if we reach out, you'll be amazed how many people will be willing. I find amazing that my daughters have a Bible studies in Loma Linda to young people. And now, because of this, what is going on, they still have their their Bible study. The only thing now they do through the internet, but they're still going on. And there's no excuse for us not to reach out. Deuteronomy chapter 31st, verse 8, New King James Version. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. It reads like this. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. God, from thousands of years from now, as well as now, the promise is the same. Remember, God changes not. God says, I'll go with you. If you take a step in mission, if you listen to my commission, I will be all every step with you. You'll see my footprints right beside yours as you go and knock and talk and witness on my behalf, because we need to be moved by compassion. We live in the last days. This is the last opportunity for us to give someone the joy of having themselves included on the family, on the list of the family of God. Now, I'd like to ask you to open your Bibles in Nehemiah. Nehemiah, I'm using for this verse the New Living Translation. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 18. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 18. All the builders had a sword belted to their side. The trumpeter stayed with me to sound the alarm. Let me give you a little explanation what is going on here. In my notes, I capitalized the word sword, because even though Nehemiah is talking about a real sword, I want to apply this in a spiritual sense in today's time, okay? So the sword here will be the word of God. It says belt to my side. In other words, where it can be easily reached and picked up anytime you need to defend your faith, to preach your faith. So the sword needs to be right by your side. And then it says, he had a trumpeter right with him. We need also to be ready to sound the alarm. The Bible says to us that if we see our brother or sister committed sin, and if we don't tell them anything, we will be guilty. We'll be accomplice of their sin. Yes, we don't have, God is not asking us to be nosy, to become detectives, to go around check to see if people are keeping the Sabbath, if people are working on the Sabbath, if people, why they don't return tithe, and on and on and on, and try, oh, is this person being unfaithful to his spouse or this? We are not asked to be nosy. What we are asked is to be moved by compassion. And do not allow any brother or sister we see step in the wrong direction. Is asked for us to have the courage to tell them, my dear brother, I know you're not going to like to hear this, but that path is going to lead you to destruction. Turn around. Jesus Christ died for you. And I know that you don't want to lose your eternal life. Turn around. God loves you. And he sent me to tell you, speak with conviction. He sent me to tell you that you must turn around. You don't go that path, because you're going to destroy yourself and those that you're going to follow you. Have compassion. Number three, we must be awake to the prophetic hour in which we're living in right now. So when we ask the Lord, when, Lord, should I be awake? The Lord says, now. Look the signs. Look all the alarms. Look all the signs that tells you the time to get up is now. Romans 13, verse 11, New King James Version. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And let me take you this moment to say to you, if some of you would like to receive a copy of those verses, all you have to do is send an email to the pastor, and I'll be glad to send you. Or you can use the church email, which is in the bulletin, and ask, Pastor, can you send me a PDF copy of the Bible text? I'll be glad to send to all of you. By the way, only these still get this kind of service. Romans 13, verse 11, New King James Version. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of your sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. I was baptized when I was 16. You have heard that before. Last night, I was, I like on the beginning of the Sabbath, I like to listen to, you know, songs. And the song that I like is the same songs that I used to like when I was 16. And they were, you know, they were very, very conservative type of a religious song. So I was listening to a song that it tells never give up. I like this song very much. I heard the song in English as well as I heard in Portuguese. Never give up. Christ is coming. Never give up. It is important for us to wake up from our sleep and look the signs. The Pharisees came to Jesus and asked Jesus for a sign. And Jesus told them, you look at the sky, and you know a storm is coming. If the sky is red, you know when that happens. You know when the time is going to be changed because of the way the sky looks. If you see the sky and know the seasons when it's changing, Jesus was telling them, look at the signs, and you see, you know about when the Son of Man is coming. Luke 21st, verse 36. Now I'm going to be reading from the New Century Version. New Century Version. Luke 21, verse 36. So be ready all the time. Pray that you will be strong enough to escape all these things that will happen, and that you will be able to stand before the Son of Man when he comes. Matthew 24. By the way, I used to say this to you, my dear brothers and sisters. Read, especially this time, at this time we are going through now, read Matthew 24. Read Matthew 34 with your children. And if you, after you read chapter 24, it says, and that your children ask you a difficult question, and you may have a little trouble to answer the question, tell them, let's call the pastor this afternoon and call us, and we'll be glad to go over. It says here, chapter 24, verse 13. But the one who endures to the end, that one will be saved. That's New Living Translation. We have in this day and age people that are preaching about the signs, but then they tell a lie. They said, oh, Jesus is going to come pick up the church and rapture the church. And everybody else will not even notice that the church is gone. You'll be sitting in a room with somebody and zoop, that person disappears. You think the person went to another room and you call and no, oh, the estate. That is a lie. The Bible says clearly that every eye shall see him. There will be those that will see him and will keep his eyes or their eyes on him. And there are those that will try to hide because they will be lost. Matthew 24, verse 22. I'll be reading a New King James now. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Let me read this again. Unless those days, you know, the last days, all the troubles that is coming, unless they were shortened, he says no one will be saved. Eventually, Satan will be able to deceive everyone. So the Lord says, because of the sake of you, my brother and sister, the elected one, he says, those days will be shortened. Remember, calamity, pestilence, signs, destruction, all will come. But this will be for a short time, because when you see those things happen, look up, because your Redeemer is coming. Number four, the reason to be awake. We must be awake to live in His holiness. Lazy people usually are not holy people. Lazy people, and I use the word lazy here in a sense, is spiritual laziness, not any. You can apply in any way you want, but it's very important. The Bible says that the lazy does not have enough to eat because they don't produce enough. It is time for us not to be lazy, spiritually speaking. It's time for us to walk, you know, with Jesus Christ. It's time for us to commit to be His. Because remember, when God is in us, we are saints, because His presence in us sanctifies us. That's what holiness is all about. And so when I ask, how, Lord, how do I maintain myself awake? We can maintain ourselves awake in His holiness. When He is in us, we shine. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, New Living Translation. But now you must be holy in everything you do. In what, brothers and sisters? He says, you must. He didn't say, you may be holy in everything. He says, you must. Without holiness, we will not see God, period. God cannot have anything before Him that is not holy. Remember last week's message. We must be holy to see Him. And then He will glorify us so that we remain holy. Just as God who chose you, He is holy. Because God who chose you is holy, you must be holy. Because if God is in you, and every place where God is becomes a holy ground, so you must be in God. You must be in God. That I don't know if you heard a little noise. Was a member already requesting for us to send the text, and we will, as we receive this afternoon, we'll be sending to everyone who requests. First Peter chapter 1, verse 2. I'm going to read this from New Century Version. God planned long ago to choose you, my brother and sister, to choose you by making you His holy people. Let me read it again. I like this so much. God planned long ago, from the foundation of the world, He chose you, my brother and sister, by making you His holy people. So who are you? You are His holy people. You are a princess, you are a prince, because your Father, your Heavenly Father, is the King of Kings. And princesses and princes, we are noble people. We have to live a life that is noble, with dignity, integrity, holiness. It says here, God wanted you to obey Him and to be made clean by the blood of the death of Jesus Christ. Now, the scripture for today was Joel chapter 2, verse 1. I'm reading this from the New King James Version. He says, blow the trumpet in Zion. By the way, you are part of Zion. Zion here is the God's church in this case. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound the alarm. Sound the alarm in my holy mountain. It means in his church. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord is coming. For it is at hand. Sound the alarm. But who has the trumpet? The ones who have the truth have the trumpet. Those who do not have the truth, they may sound the trumpet, but those will be false alarms. And you know what happens to false alarms? You hear them so many times, and then later on you don't know which one is which. That's why when the Bible says that God raised a prophet, Satan raised 10 others to make confusion. We need to know the word of God so that when the trumpet sounds, we would know, we can distinguish, is this a false alarm or is this a real alarm? And by the way, ignorance hurts, because when we do not know, we have more fear, insecurity. It's more painful to be ignorant. When we know, knowledge brings peace. Know the truth will set you free. Yes, knowledge brings, that's why God is asking us to be knowledgeable about the truth. Because then we'll be able to discern the alarms. Is this a false alarm? No, this is real. This is coming from God because I know it comes from God. Jesus Christ also warned, he says, and there will be some false Christs. If you hear that is inside of your house, of course, through your television or internet, if you hear that somebody, be an alert. Somebody was telling me that they like to hear all the preachers from other churches. Please be careful. Because disguised behind all those nice talk, there is always a piece of lie that comes in. This is not new. It has been always like that throughout the ages. Satan always bring his false prophets, his false teachers, just to send false alarms. And when the real alarm sounds, nobody knows. The Bible says also, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Let not be true about you, my brother and sister. I hope you become very familiar with the trumpet. I hope you become very familiar with the word of God, the sword, that you are always dressed ready for battle, because this great conflict between good and evil will come to an end. And you need to be standing when it comes to an end. And if you know the sound of the trumpet, if you know how to distinguish the alarms that come from God, you will be standing that day. In Luke 12:32, at this time, I'm going to read this verse from the Amplified Bible, the classic edition. It says, do not be seized with alarm and be struck with fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. As we said before, God has planned to give you the kingdom by making you his holy people, by sending his son to die in my place, by buying us with his own life. He bought our lives back. He not only created us, but he has redeemed us. And redemption is a recreation. So we have no reason not to know the distinction between the alarm that comes from him and the alarm that is a false alarm. Again, let's go back to Matthew 24. Now, Matthew 24, verse 44. And I'm reading now from the New Living Translation. You also must be ready at all time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. You know, we have alarm because we don't know when somebody wants to break in. We have alarm because we don't want to be caught by surprise. But the Bible says that we need to know the sounds of the trumpets, because when the Lord comes, he will come and nobody will be expecting him except those that know the signs. Those that know exactly what the alarm sounds like, they will be rejoicing when they see that the Lord is near and the Lord is coming. We'll be able to hear the voice of the archangel. We will. Now, let me use illustration here now. And some of you, some of our dear members, are familiar with the sounds of the savannah in Africa. It says that all prey use sounds to communicate an alarm. Sometimes we walk among the bushes, we hear the birds singing, and we think we have no idea. We think they are talking to each other about how lovely this day is. Oh, have you catched a bug yet? Oh, I'm looking for some bugs. Oh, that corner has some bugs there. Oh, they are delicious. You know, they think that the birds are just talking to each other, just having fun. No, let me say this to you. When you go walking on the bushes, the birds tell each other, here comes a man, here comes a woman, a human. They are dangerous. They want to eat us. They communicate to each other. When they see a lion getting up from his sleep and ready to look for some food, the birds communicate to each other, tell each other. And guess what? All the animals got used to that sound. So the animals, the impala, they also hear those birds and they have an idea. What are those birds talking about? So in a savannah in Africa, when the birds talk, so the animals, the prey, send a sound communicating to their offspring and to all the members of their group. Danger is near. Usually, they get up, they put their heads up, and they put their ears up. And any little tiny sound is a confirmation of the alarm, and they take off as fast as they can. They run away from what the sound is coming. Because they know that if they don't run, they will become somebody else's meal. Now, we hear that always about the lion, we say that the lion is a good hunter, and a lion has a reputation. It's admired all around the world, even places where they have no lions. They make sure they get one and put in a zoo for the people to go and look. And it's a very massive animal. It is a kind of awesome animal. And through all the ages, civilization after civilization, use the lion as a symbol of strength and everything else. But let me share some fact about the lion to you. The lion is not the greatest hunter that everybody claims it to be. Actually, the lions get 20 to 25% only success on their hunting skills. And not only they don't succeed every time they attack, but they have to preserve energy. And so they have to be very, very, very careful, extremely careful how to try to catch one of animal prey, because they cannot afford to run too fast. They have a lot of energy, but they don't have a lot of speed. They cannot run for too long. So they have to be careful. They have to come as close as possible. And they have, in order for them to succeed, they have to count that the animal they are trying to catch, it is careless. And by the way, I have watched this in National Geographic, and I have seen sometimes a scene when the alarm is sound, the birds make their sound their alarm, and then the impala put their head up with the ear up, and they the male that is in control of the whole group sound also squeaking sign alarm, also tell them get up, it's time for us, you hear the bird, it's time for us to get out of here. But there is always one. Usually is a young one that wants to take an extra bite of that grass. There is always one that is a little bit, a few seconds late to listen to the alarm. And the lion, pay attention. When the alarm is sound, the lion pay attention. And he noticed that one that is being careless. And he focused on that one. And he started getting a little closer to that one because he says, you know, I need to short the distance because I want to increase my probability, my possibility to catch this one. Brothers and sisters, your young is very vulnerable. Care for them, instruct them, teach them to be aware and be prompt to listen to the alarm. Right now, we have another surge of the COVID-19. We have seen with my own eyes, not only on television, but as I went for a walk with my family, I have seen how many people are being actually careless. They are not taking this serious. I have heard people saying to me, I don't care. I said, why are you not wearing the mask? The person said to me, I don't care. They think that this is not serious enough, that nothing's going to happen to them. They don't think that they are mortal. They think, some of them even think that it's a joke. There was one young person, he came on the news, that even said, let's have a COVID party and let's see who is going to get contaminated first. They are joking about this. Just like that little umpala there decide to eat an extra bite, and they become a bite for the lion, because the few seconds that impala decides not to listen to the alarm, it is enough time for the lion to get a little closer and close the distance, increasing its possibility, its probability to catch and destroy the life of that impala. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, New Living Translation, it tells you to you, brother that has little ones in your home, sister that has little ones in home, you that all by yourself there at home right now, I'm speaking to you too. Peter says this, stay alert, 1 Peter 5 verse 8, New Living Translation, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Peter used this expression very appropriately, very clearly. Please stay alert. In John 8:44, New Living Translation, Jesus Christ says this about this lion, this devil. You know why they call him devil, right? The one who does evil, devil. John 8:44, New Living Translation. By the way, I say those things just for the children because they like those things, okay? The devil is the one who do evil. And then John 8:44, New Living Translation, it says, "For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the devil thing, the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning." And pay attention to this part where it says, "He has always hated the truth. He has always hated the truth." And the Bible says the truth is Christ. The Bible is the truth. And he has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. Truth is light, and he is the prince of darkness. And it says again, just continue by saying, when he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Now, I have something here for the children to think about, okay? Let me do this for the children. Hello, children. This is for you, okay? Jesus calls Satan the father of lies, who hates the truth from the beginning. He has lied, and he will lie until the end. And that is why it's very proper to call him the lion. You got it? He says he always lies. He's the father of lies. He hates the truth. That's why it's so appropriate for Peter to call him the lion. You got it? Now to adults. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2, all the way to 6. I'm reading this from the Contemporary English Version. "You surely know that the Lord's return will be as a thief coming at the night. People will think they are safe and secure." It's like you young people today. "But destruction will suddenly strike them like a pains of a woman about to give birth, and they won't escape." My dear friends, my dear brothers and sisters, you don't live in darkness, and so that they won't be surprised you like a thief. You belong to the light. Jesus Christ is the light, of course, and live in the day. We don't live in the light, in the night. Or we don't belong to the dark or the prince of darkness. Others may sleep, but we should stay awake and alert. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, 17. "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, that trumpet, that alarm that we are used to hear about, and that we must be knowledgeable about." It says, "With the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet call of God, first the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then you and I, together with them, yes, together with them, will be caught up on the clouds to meet our Lord, our Abba, in the air. Then, my brothers and sisters, we'll hold hands with our guardian angel, flowing to the space towards to meet our Lord. We'll be with him forever and ever again." Let me tell you about an illustration. I read a story of a man who stated that his wife was not a morning person. He said about his wife, he said, "She hates to get up and is hard to wake up, but she is a million times easier to get up now than when we first got married." And he continued by saying, "When we first got married, I couldn't wake her up. It was a little scary. She slept like a rock. When she went to sleep, she was out, and I mean out." Then he continues telling about something that happens one day in his life. He says one day he came home very late and the doors were locked and he forgot to take his own keys. So he noticed that the porch light was still on. So he rang the bell. Nothing happened. He beat on the door. Nothing happened. He walked around to the bathroom and saw her asleep. Through the window, he saw her sleeping. So he called. Nothing. He banged at the window. Nothing. He almost broke the window, and nothing happened. She didn't move. So he called the phone, and she did not answer. She did not move. So he broke the window and climbed in and checked to make sure that she was still breathing. Then he said this, "I have never met anyone before or since that is slept deeper than my wife in our early years of marriage." But as he continued telling the story, he says, something happened which changed her completely. A miracle he couldn't believe. And that happens when of the birth of her or their son. She still likes to getting up early. She still doesn't like to get up early. She still sleeps very deeply. But when her son cries, she wakes up immediately. She still doesn't like mornings, but she surely loves her son. We share this story with you today, my brothers and sisters, because falling into a deep spiritual sleep, it is very dangerous. And it is a very scary thing. And we know that our beloved Abba, through his Holy Spirit, is banging at our windows, is knocking on our doors. It is ringing the alarm, is calling for our senses to wake. But many chooses to continue snore on. They love more their disease than they love their God. My dear brother, my dear sister, wake up. The sun is crying for you. Wake up if you truly love him. Listen to his cry. He needs you. He chose you. He wants you. Wake up. How many times has God, in his amazing grace, sound a spiritual alarm clock in your life? How many times that alarm went on and you kept sleeping? Wake up. Rise up from your bed, and Christ the light will shine on you. Cast off your pajamas and get dressed. A light is shining the path for you to walk, shining the blessings that you must claim. Wake up. In his grace, put on his righteousness and shine for your King. Listen to the cry for the Son of Man. It is time for us to get up. It is time for us to get dressed. It is time for us to shine. It is not time for us to continue sleeping. The time is near when finally, by his amazing grace, our justification in Christ, our redemption in Christ, our holiness in Christ will be finally dressed in his eternal glory. It is my prayer today, my dear brother and sister, that the Holy Spirit stamp a very clear alarm sound on your mind and claims your heart, impress in your heart and your thoughts the urgency of the time and hour where we're living. let's not be alarmed by the disasters that is happening around the world. But let us be filled of joy because the hour of redemption is near. God bless you. May God claim you always. But please wake up. The alarm is on. God bless.